everybody, and welcome to another exciting episode of Indie Film Cafe. I'm your host, Jonathan Moody. Paul will not be joining us on this one, but he'll be back for his one in late June. So I have two awesome guests, both who've never been here before. I guess we'll start with Mark DeValenti. How are you doing, Mark?
I am fantastic, Jonathan. Thanks for inviting me to be on the show. Can't wait to get started.
I'm excited to have you on the show. And we'll talk a little bit more after the show about what you're going to be bringing to Indie Film Cafe and everything. And also joining us is Joe Gonzalez. How are you doing, Joe?
I am fantastic. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing fantastic as well. I decided, because this is a movie that I saw, like I used to see at the video store all the time when I worked back in like 2002 or three, you know, ish or whatever. I would see this, like the cover of it. And I was always intrigued because it looked really creepy. The cover of it now looks, you know, on like DVD, like the upgraded versions look, you know, kind of, you know, more of like what you'd expect. But the one I saw was really creepy looking. And so I had actually never watched, I think I watched maybe a little bit of it when I bought it one day. And I don't know if I watched the whole thing, but I'm glad we got to sit down and each watch this movie, because the movie, A Crack in the Floor, and we'll get into this a little bit more after we get into some mood music. All right, and we are back. So we're going to be talking about A Crack in the Floor. It is a 2001 film that stars Mario Lopez from Saved by the Bell, who, I'm sorry, all I saw was A.C. Slater. Like any,
right?
Like anytime I see him in any of these movies, all I see is A.C. He can't play anybody but basically Mario Lopez. I'm sorry. And then there was Gary Busey for 2 seconds, but yep. Still, I mean, that, like, I think he was on the screen time for like 2 minutes, maybe five. And that scene was amazing. We'll get into that in a little bit. Then there's Rance Howard, who was in it too. Ron Howard's father, which was pretty cool. I didn't recognize him until I looked him up on the thing. And then there is Bo Hopkins, who I just felt so bad for being in this movie. So Joe, can you tell us a little bit about what this movie is about? Like, could you sum this up for us?
In one word or a short sentence? Because I might be able to have both.
Well, I mean, actually more than a sentence. You could do like a little bit of a storyline of what you would think it's about.
Just these kids, I don't know. It almost felt like these kids just going off into the woods, almost in like a typical kind of cheesy horror. I'm sorry about that. Can we cut that?
Oh, that's fine.
Okay. Sorry, I'm having problems right now.
With your audio, with your video or something? Or
no, I just literally started feeling sick all of a sudden.
I hope it wasn't because of the movie.
No, I'm sorry. I just need a second.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
It's fine.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I don't know what to do right now. I've never had this issue before.
It's okay. Do you want us to come back to you?
Yeah, please. Sorry.
Mark, could you sum up this movie a little bit?
Yeah, I'm happy to do that, actually. So first of all, you know, the listeners may or probably don't know exactly what I do, but I'm always looking at things in frameworks, right? So we'll talk about that. But I look at any movie in the framework of, does this enhance my experience or does this distract from it? So we can talk what that means in a moment. But it really, just in summary for the movie, it's about, again, as Joe was saying, about these kids who get an opportunity to go out in the woods, a cabin in the woods, and, you know, turns out to be not exactly a great cabin for them, because we have a little bit of backstory. But go ahead, please.
Well, they weren't going into the cabin, right? They were just hiking, and they got lost, I guess, or whatever. and they stumbled upon the cabin at night. So they weren't like, because, and we'll go into that a little bit more about the cabin, sure. because I'm honestly not happy with the cabin stuff,
yeah.
but
yeah,
you know, because I have some issues with it. But aside from that, yeah, you're right. These kids are out, and they're kids. They're like fucking 30-year-olds, you know, you're whatever, 20-something-year-olds that are, I guess, bored and want to go on a hiking trip, you know. I mean,
there wasn't really a lot of story, like explanation to really a lot of the different things that were going on in the movie, like. Gary Busey and the other guy were in the beginning of it, but then that's all you like really saw of that. Like there was nothing else that came back around to it. Like,
that's right.
I felt like there should have been more to that. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, if you're going to look at any of these normal tropes, right, it's there's, you know, the kids going out, city kids or whatever, going out on some crazy adventure. They meet some crazy eccentric people in the beginning, and then they go out somewhere and wind up in trouble. I mean, it's pretty much a very similar story we may have heard many times before.
Yeah, even to the point of like you know, like Urban Legend, you know, mm-hmm. has that like scene with the gas station, you mm-hmm. know, or whatever, you know, they always go to the gas station, they pump their gas, and it's, you know, it's so common that it's sort of, I don't know, it gets on cliche and kind of boring, you know. But it's 2001, so like people still do this today in 2021. You know, this movie is, wow, I didn't realize that this movie is 20 years old. You know, like I didn't even think about that. Like when I picked it, I had no idea. So that is so funny. This movie is 20 fucking years old. And it's, so when we look at it, we think of it in almost terms of like today, but like back then it was still sort of like, we didn't have like the internet. We had all these movies that maybe did the same thing, but you know, we didn't have these things where they're like, you know, there's no shows on YouTube like there are now, you know, where they talk about all the different cliches and stuff, you know what I mean, like top five cliches in mm-hmm. horror films or something, you know what I mean. And we have that now, so a lot of times they were just doing what was like formulaic, you know, what probably would get butts in the seats of watching these. They were directed to DVD movies, you know, like this was not, I don't think this was a movie, if it did go to theaters, it didn't go for very long, you know. Right. I doubt it. But yeah, so keep going, Mark. With
yeah, you know, I mean, I'm going to give Jo a chance to respond as well, because you know, if she chooses to at this,
you know.
You feeling better?
I think it was this damn store, because it's so hot. It's 106 today.
Oh, dang.
So I ran out to the gas station. I got this. I think it was just too much too soon with the hot and the cold. So I got a stomach cramp and I was like, this has never happened before. What is going on? Yeah. Anyway.
It's okay.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I just think to summarize, I mean, because I know we're talking more about the logistics of the movie right now. I mean, I think, and we can talk about more of the details and the specifics, as I said, at least in my framework of distracting or enhancing an experience. But I think it's to your point, Jonathan, you would recognize the general theme of the way this story goes.
Yeah. So there's this kid, Jeremiah, back 33 years ago, saw his mother brutally raped. And I had to, okay. So I asked Jo before she watched it, if she was okay with rape, you know, because
sure.
there are, I didn't realize this, and Mark, you probably know this a lot, but there are a lot of people who suffer from PTSD, and rape is one of those things that people like sometimes they can't watch. Or like I had a friend of mine listening to a song and the person just said the word rape and she was freaking out. I didn't know. Well, first of all, I didn't know she had PTSD on that, and B, I didn't know that was like even just the word, you know, would trigger somebody. So but I will let people know, if you haven't seen the movie, I don't know why you're listening to our review, but if you haven't seen the movie, you know, go watch it on YouTube. It's free on YouTube. I don't usually promote that necessarily, but it's free on YouTube. I don't know if any other streaming services actually provide it. I don't think they do. But I think it deserves a bit better like release or something, like a Blu-ray or something. 20-year anniversary Blu-ray. That would have been cool.
Mario Lopez is still relevant, right? Like he does He does stuff.
He's more relevant now than ever. In fact, I went on his what is it, page, because he was promoting something. I forgot what it was, but I went on and I said, we're reviewing Cracking the Floor on Indie Film Cafe Network. You know, just to A, plug it, and B, because why not? You know, like, I don't think Mario even looks at that. I'm sure his, you know, social media people do all the posting and everything like that. But, you know, whatever.
That was smart, Jonathan. We talked about networking and constantly putting things out there. So I think that was actually a very effective approach.
Plus, all the Mario Lopez fans might want to listen to this.
That's right.
Oh, my gosh.
There are a lot of Mario Lopez fans. Like, a lot of people love this.
Oh, too. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Because that man, he just got better with age. Like, just looks, everything. He just got better with age. How can you not just at least appreciate the way he looks? Like,
right. I mean, the only thing I wasn't a fan of is the new Saved by the Bell. But that is a podcast. That's a podcast for another podcast. You know, like, I don't want to even get into that. So Mario Lopez, all of them are just, I mean, and they basically at the end of the movie, like toward the third act, they come to this, you know, cabin or whatever, and they have no idea what's going on. We do, the audience, we have a clue, but they don't. And so they're staying there. It looks fine. They don't know that a crack in the floor, which is the, you know, obviously the title, but like, is like the guy staring and watching them, you know? I actually kind of wish, since they have that as the title and everything, I kind of wish they did more with that, you know? Like, it was, because I felt like they missed an opportunity with the fact that it's, you know, it's called a crack in the floor. They have the crack in the floor, but really you only see it like maybe three times or so. It's right. Like, it wasn't even much of it. It was only when he was there in the beginning, you know, in the end. And I think somewhere in the middle when he's, you know, watching sheriff, I guess, mm-hmm. Bo Hopkins' character come in and everything. So there really wasn't much of that. I was kind of disappointed.
There wasn't there was a lot of, I thought a lot of the dialogue was just kind of filler. Like, a lot of it didn't, like, they could have put more of an actual story in this movie. Mm-hmm. A lot of it was just nonsense and chitter chatter. And there was some funny stuff to it, but a lot of it was just, to me, it was just empty. It's like, I can put this on mute and get the same amount out of it. Like,
just like the empty man scene.
Yes.
Where,
yes.
Yeah. That scene was the only good thing about that. The only cool thing about that scene is the fact that they mention American Werewolf in London. Then they have the guy who stars in American Werewolf in London as the EMT. That's the only cool thing about that, because, and literally he's only in there. He has no dialogue. He's only in there for like, I'm like, why do you pay David Naughton to, like,
right.
You know, you have that one scene, like, it was you're right, it's filler. Like, literally, stuff like that was just filler to get us to the next scene until, like, the final finale with him going after them. But we'll get into some of the special effects at the end of the show. And that was probably, some of those were some of the better things about this movie.
I think, and Jonathan, I think you're bringing up a great point about the crack in the floor, right? One of the things that I actually liked about this, and believe it or not, actually, I was pleasantly surprised about some aspects of this movie. I know we're going to talk about some of that. And, you know, as whenever the guy went down there and blew up his smoke through the crack, which in that part, I think, like, that was, and for some reason, a very symbolic, like, of a desecration of that kind of, you know, that the crack that the person is looking through. So to your point, if they would have done more of that in different ways and the symbolism and the action, I think it would have made it more interesting.
I think so too, especially like, because, okay, so you're talking about, you like sort of the psychology of stuff and everything, be it your behavioral studies guy, you know, all that, all these things. And you watch this movie and you're like, the people who write this movie obviously don't know anything about that. And the interesting thing is, like, you've got this guy who, Jeremiah is a man who was, or a kid who was basically left alone in his house when his mom was raped. He's, you know, the guy just kind of left him, which I was like, why didn't you just like finish him off and kill him? But then they're A, because there's, you know, the movie, you know, needs to continue. Right. B, my other problem with it, you know, this goes to the cabin. Why the hell isn't that cabin up for sale? Like, why didn't a real estate person come over? And, you know, like, why don't the cops know who's, you know what I mean? Like, there's so
many taxes owed on that somewhere.
What?
I said there are taxes owed on that. Somebody's going to look into it. Like, property. Where's our money?
Yeah. Right. Like, I mean, what is going on? There's 33 years and nobody's, you know, and they can make the, they can make the thing that, like, you know, he might have killed everybody, but then there would be like a lot of like, okay, so this person went up to that house and died. Yeah, we need the police over there. And then they would have taken care of this guy. He would not have been A, living alone by himself for like 33 years. He would not, his hair was long, but I'm pretty sure it'd be longer unless he knew how to fucking cut his own hair. Like, and these are things that they could have put in the film that would have made it interesting, you know? Cause I have a killer that I'm, that I've done, I've copywritten the killer and everything, but for this movie called Scavenger. And basically it's this guy who's out in the middle of the woods by himself, you know, right, for so long as a, you know, he was a kid and he had to hunt to survive and everything. But my, my whole thing is like, he's sort of like this kid nobody cared about, you know, right? Like nobody was really looking, he killed, you know, his parents were killed. Like he has no ties to anything. So him being out there makes total sense. That makes sense. If you're like, if you have like a cabin in the middle of the woods, this did not look like the middle of the woods, you know? Right.
Right.
And so it's just,
do you feel, oh, sorry.
Oh, no, no, go ahead.
No, I was going to ask. So do you feel that the writer was being lazy, or do you feel that this was like, this is genuinely how he wanted this movie to go? So this is how it ended up.
I don't see. That's a good question. Cause I can't speak for the writer. Like I have no idea. What do you think, Mark? Do you think I don't know, but I don't think so.
No, I think it's a great question, Joe. And for me, the way that I usually work is what do I observe versus what can I possibly speculate on? So it's, to end to Jonathan's point, I don't know. I don't know about this person, what other work that they've done. I've actually did not admittedly do the research to say what else has this person directed? Okay. What do those films look like? So it's really hard to say. But again, that's a good question, right? Are there consistent things that we see that says, okay, he's trying to tell, is it, I don't even know, it's a male, right? I think he, the director's trying to tell a story here. And are there things that come up that kind of punctuate that story, or is it just all random?
I don't know.
Interestingly enough, it's two writers or directors.
Okay.
So that might explain some things.
Yeah. too many conflicts.
Yeah. And are they both, okay, so yeah, so they're both writers and both directors. So Corbin Timbrook wrote it with Sean Stanek. Corbin, wow, so, and he's a producer, so he's produced a lot of movies. I think I befriended him on Facebook.
Uh oh.
Well, you'll
blocked now, I guess.
I hope not. No, I hope kidding. He understands. I hope he's happy that this movie is getting right. attention.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I mean, we'll talk about some of the details, but
yeah. I mean, honestly, I mean, okay, so when I sent it to you guys, I think I even told you guys I was expecting this movie to just be terrible. Yeah. Right. I had seen the scene with Gary Busey online, you know, on YouTube. And it was like it said something in the thing. It was just that scene with Gary Busey. And it was like Gary Busey's worst acting or something like that. And I was like, what is this? So I clicked on it and I was like, what is this movie? And it said like a crack in the floor. So I was like, I remember that, you know? And when I was trying to decide what movie I wanted to do for Indie Film Cafe, this movie popped up in my head. Now I thought it was a movie in the 90s. Then I found out it was 2001 when I was starting watching. I was like, oh, okay. But this does feel like a late 90s type movie instead of a or earlier movie than a 2001. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but it's just what it is. Did he act in the movie too? Because He is an actor as well, Corbin Timbrook.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Gary Busey, because I thought that they just, like, he just wandered on the set and they're just like, just film him, just film him.
So, I, you know, that's, you know, it does feel like that, doesn't it?
I was so thrown off at first. I'm like, is this guy for real? This is how he acts in everything. And I think this is pretty much how he acts in real life. I was like, did he just wander on set and just started like picking up chicken pieces and shit? And they're like, just go with it, man. Just go with it. He's here.
I think they had a script. And then when they got Gary Busey, they just threw it out, you know, for that scene, you know, because when you see the scene with Mario Lopez and Rance Howard and the other guy, we're going to get into the characters in a second. But the, you know, those guys, Rance Howard, said something. They're like, yeah, just don't, you know, or it's going to taste like oil or whatever. Right.
Right.
And motor oil, chicken and motor oil. And then he looks over and goes, what'd you say? And it was like, oh, they said, blah, blah, blah. And he looks over and goes, oh, I thought you guys were being dicks or something like
that.
That's right. Cocksuckers is what he said specifically. Yes. Well, and the thing is, I actually like that part. Like that part, you know, usually the cliche would have been, oh, I didn't hear what you said, blah, 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 and that's it. So I wasn't expecting Rance Howard to say that. So I think there was little moments like that that actually weren't the cliche dialogue, which actually did keep an interest for me. So I'm glad you brought that one up.
Exactly. No, I agree. And that took away. Then you get when Gary Busey, and they made sure to have a pull-up reveal of Gary Busey. You know, you watch it from the legs up, and I was like, this is the scene. And he goes, like, and he starts talking about take this chicken, you know.
I can't eat chicken wings ever again. That's all I know without having to think of that friggin' scene.
It was talking about suppositories and all this shit. And I, you know, and then Rance Howard and him have the most awkward conversation at the end. Like, he's just like, I'm thinking that's about okay. leaving. And he's like, no, you can't leave. He's like, oh no, they got the airplane there. And he's like, oh no, you're gonna have to tell the airplane not to go. And I'm like, this has to be improv. This has to be the improv part, because like, it made absolutely no sense, you know. And they were just, and then at the end, what does he say? He's like, I got diarrhea. I was just right. like, that's just the best. Oh, that movie. Oh, it was perfect. It's a perfect for a Friday night movie, honestly. Like, you're just looking to like bring your friends, pop some popcorn, and watch something that's just ridiculous, you know. Especially that scene right there has just made it. So
I was disappointed that they never came back to them. Like, I felt like they were gonna be back in it later on, like they were somehow gonna be connected. It never happened, because I was just like, wait, this is it? What happened to fucking Gary Busey and the chicken dude? Like, what's going on? Like, I feel kind of cheated.
Once again, it goes back to you saying it was filler. Like, literally.
Yeah, filler.
It was filler. Like, it was like, okay, where do we get from point A to point B? Okay, so we get them to, they've got to, you know, I guess, stop and go to the bathroom and fill up their gas or whatever, change their oil, look at the oil, whatever it is, you know, stuff like that. And then get them back on the road to go hiking so that we can get them lost and have them go. You know what I mean? Like, they have to get to their, you know, it has to make sense. I would have loved if they had made it today, I think they would have had a scene where the people would have been going to that house specifically, you know, and then but the problem is, like, I guess, I mean, I don't even know why they wanted to be hikers, because they already had two hikers in the very beginning who died, you know, like, why do it again? Like, why not make it like a trip that they're planning to go to this house? Like, they've heard about this house that like nobody's lived in for 33 years, you know, blah, blah, blah. It'd be fun to, you know, go check it out or something, you know, but they decided to go with them getting lost, and I guess it was lost. They like, and then one of them, the girl hurt her ankle, so they had to go up there, and that, we'll get into those things in a bit. Let's go into the characters before I kind of forget to do that, because we've been talking about them. But so Mario Lopez plays a character named Lehman, you know, who they call Layman at one point as a joke for him. and honestly, I felt like he was kind of miscast, you know, when you look at the type of role he's playing. It seemed a little weird. Didn't you guys feel that way at all?
Yeah, like he was supposed to be the lead, but he wasn't.
Well, like, no, maybe he was. I mean, okay, so let's take that scene where they're in the woods right before they get lost, right? Yeah. And he went off and apparently went looking for a rabbit.
Yeah.
Which
I
didn't understand any of that part. But
filler. That's right.
Filler, yeah, maybe, but also it was really awkward and weird because, like, the whole time he's like, no, I didn't. That just did not feel like Mario Lopez. Yeah. That felt like somebody, like another character that, you know, what do you think, Mark?
Yeah, I wonder, you know, in watching this, and it seemed like there was so much ad-libbing that went on, you know, and it was great for people like Gary Busey and Rance Howard, but perhaps, you know, they asked Mario Lopez the ad-lib as well, and that was his ad-libbing, which, and some people aren't as great as other things. And again, I'm speculating a little bit here, but that's what I noticed. And there's a lot of things that people randomly said. I think the one guy said he had like pudding in his wares or something like that. After I remember that, like, just like a random phrase. There were so many random phrases that just felt natural, but kind of weird.
Oh.
But I just wonder if everybody was just asked to ad-lib, and that's how Mario Lopez ad-libs. I don't know.
Like ketchup farm. Like, cause I remember going, where the fuck do you find a That's ketchup
right.
farm?
That's right. Like... That's right. That was the old, the janitor.
Oh my God. That whole stuff was just, once again, filler, because it, like, there was no point to any of that.
Yeah.
So when you look That's at right. it, if you, okay. So if you got rid of all the stuff that doesn't actually exist in the plot of the movie, you know, for the sake of moving the plot along, you would only have like probably 30 minutes.
That's
you
know? Right.
Like, that's, I mean, maybe, okay, I'm okay, maybe half the movie, maybe 45 to 50 minutes, because, like, literally, most of the movie is just them, like, okay, they, you know, the cop comes back and finds the ketchup stuff, but nothing comes back with that. Like, there's nothing, you know, they don't do anything with that. You know, the stuff you had said about, like, there's just so much that just does not come back. Gary Busey, they do not come back. All of these things do not have anything to do with the rest of the movie. They're just there in the scene because I guess they didn't know how to write a full movie. I mean, that's the only thing I can imagine. Yeah.
I mean, the other thing is, I mean, and you both have worked on set before, and you know that there's, you know, there's people that come in for certain days, they're paid for certain days, whether they're quote unquote bigger stars like Gary Busey, or, you know, that older man, his name's Bill Irwin, is the actor, and he was on Seinfeld. If either of you are a Seinfeld fan, he was the old man that they were trying to steal his records, and in a very classic episode that actually Tobin Bell was in as well, side note, but he played exactly the same character. So I wonder if they said, okay, character actor, Bill Irwin, come on in, you know, Rance Howard, come on in. And then Gary Busey, come on in. They just said, okay, do your stuff for the day we have you. I don't know.
Yeah. He was also in a bunch of John Hughes movies, by the way. He was in like Planes, Trains and Automobiles.
Oh yeah. Yeah, exactly.
You know, right. Yeah. He plays the same character, you know, he's a character actor, but he's, you know, he's wacky and goofy and silly. And that's, I guess that's either what they were looking for that particular scene, which isn't bad. Like, look, some people are champions against humor being in horror films and stuff, you know, or whatever. I like it, you know, because a lot of times I do get bored if everything's so serious. Like, if everything's like, oh, I'm pregnant, oh my God, it's all drama fest, I get bored. I'm like, I don't care. Like, you know, I want you guys to die. You know, that's really, I mean, that's what I'm looking for. Generally, movies like this, you're rooting for the killer, you know. This killer, necessarily, I didn't care. Like,
there wasn't anybody to root for, really, in this movie, except for, you know, the Chicken Shack people. Like,
yeah.
We want to go back there. I want to know what the hell happened. And
Well, you said the rabid dog came in and ate all the, so you had to put the dog down or whatever. But I don't know. Maybe you did. Maybe you didn't.
Yeah.
You know,
it's maybe a little more explicit than that. But yes.
It was pretty, pretty, I mean, it was a pretty gnarly, like, little thing right there. I don't know.
Yes, I believe you said the mangy dog had his way with the chickens as opposed to kill them or something as well. And then he had to do it. That's what I thought he said in that scene.
I think that is what he said.
Which added to the weirdness of it all. That's this way he had to kill them because, you know, they were no good anymore at that point.
Oh, my goodness. That's weird.
I thought it was weird, too, that they used, like, a 2-liter bottle of soda and, like, a piece of newspaper as their bucket of chicken, quote unquote. I was like, ooh, okay. And you guys are still cool with eating that right now. So, and then later on, they're just like, ew, this is disgusting. I'm like, you're eating it out of a nasty, used, greasy 2-liter bottle of soda with a used old newspaper. Like, why is it now, you know, unpleasant for you?
I don't know. I just can't stop laughing at Gary Busey talking about when she uses the suppository that her farts are going to smell like fried chicken. I'm like,
that's right.
What the fuck, Gary? Like, I mean, really, seriously, they were the best part of the movie. And they're only in it for like five, seven minutes of the movie or whatever it was. And
probably the best part of the movie, honestly, in my opinion. So that's just me.
Which was the part that got me to want to rewatch this, because I thought, oh man, if that scene is bad, the rest of the movie has got to be just as terrible. And and that was what kind of was disappointing, was like, if the whole movie was just like that, just as wacky and weird and crazy, I would have loved this movie. Absolutely. Like, I would totally recommend it. Would have got high on the stinkometer on that, but I would have I would totally be recommending this more so than probably what I'm going to be tonight. So Mario Lopez, then we talked about Gary Busey and Rance Howard, who played by the way, Rance Howard played a character named Floyd Fried. Don't ask me about that. And Gary Busey, I guarantee you they made up their own names or something, because Gary Busey is Tyler Trout. So I feel like they were just like completely making up these like names themselves.
I don't know. They were talking about, yeah, she likes to smoke sausage or whatever when they had, or smoke beef sausage or whatever
it was. Yes.
Yes.
Beef steaks or some shit like that. Beef sticks? I don't know.
Something like that. And then we have Bo Hopkins. As I said, I'm so sorry he's in this movie. He's been in like 2 or 3 Mario Lopez movies. I don't know.
Really?
He likes to work with them. So then he plays Sheriff Talmadge, which I'm disappointed in like how he died and everything. Like, he died from the hands that, you know, while he was in, you know, visiting visiting the shack and everything. Like, really? Like, you know, like, and it seems like this guy is just so easy to kill people and then just hide their bodies, you know? Yeah. Like, where does he put the bodies? You know, their bodies were floating up in the river, so he had to like bury them, which we don't ever get to see any of this stuff, you know.
See, I was kind of hoping those guys would come back, because I almost felt like there was going to be like a Texas Chainsaw kind of situation where the Chicken Shack people were somehow going to be like associated with him and all these people coming up missing, because there were like all those vehicles in the water, but there's no people, so where are the people going? But there's all these slaughter, like, how do you guys have like an ongoing thing of food? Like, I don't
exactly get that. So you're saying that you wanted the people to be the fried chicken?
Yeah, like, that's what I was. I feel cheated, damn it.
I agree. Like, they had a missed opportunity there of doing like a Texas Chainsaw Massacre. I mean, I give them credit for not going that route, because now obviously you thought that way, so maybe that would have been the route that they might have taken, you know, or whatever. But and so now they want to do something completely different to throw you off the track, but then they sort of did a boring way to throw you off the track, because there's really the character just kind of kills, you know. And I get it. It's like, you know, hey, this is my property. I'm a, you know, but he's not even, it doesn't even look like he's hunting them to eat them or anything, you know, like, he's just killing the people that are on his property, you know, or whatever. Like, there's, go ahead.
I think that's a good point, right? Is, and I think Joe said it best, you don't really root for anybody in this movie, right? You can't even, like you said, Jonathan, typically in these types of movies, if the character, the teenagers are so unlikable, you want them to get killed, but you can't even root for the killer because it's very, he's very flat. He's just killing because they happen to be there. There's no sort of insight into anything beyond that. They just happen to show up there. There's not really a development of that character either, to your point.
Jeez. No, no. The only characters that got developed are the Chicken Shack guys.
Yes. I mean, the
only ones who seem to be developed in some sort of way, even though it's so ridiculous and over the top and goofy. I mean, I would rather see that, you know, I'd rather see a whole movie with Tyler Trout. You know, if you guys, if the director is listening, the directors are listening, and you guys are planning to make a sequel of this movie someday down the road, I don't know. I'm guessing not, considering it's been 20 years and nothing's happened yet, as far as I know. If you guys plan to make a sequel, you know, make a spinoff with Tyler Trout. And I don't know if, is Rand still around or has he passed away? Yeah, he passed away, unfortunately, in 2017. But, you know, you could put somebody else in there. Gary Busey's still, you know, around and very much crazy. I mean, you can put him in anything. Give him, right. Don't give him any lines. Just let him wing it.
Maybe Clint Howard could be on the show.
What?
Maybe Clint Howard could be the son of Floyd Fried or whatever. And come on.
Clint Howard would be awesome.
Yes. I would.
Ice cream man. He's right. the ice cream man to the Chicken Shack.
Perfect. I love it. All right. So those are, I guess, some of the main characters. But then there's Justine Priestley, who was the character of Kate. I guess she was the pregnant girl. She was, I mean, you know, they were just literally just fodder, you know, to get killed, right? Like, is that what you would agree?
I was kind of hoping she would sooner than she did.
Like, all the really characters? I
really did not like her character at all. All the characters, but really hers. I mean, like, they were picking on her a lot, and I didn't really understand wholly why they were. It was like, I mean, is it because she's the new kid? Like,
oh, no,
you know, in
that's
the group, she's the girl giving a hard time.
Heidi.
Oh, wait. I think
that was the other girl.
Heidi was the new kid that was.
Oh, right. I'm sorry.
That's there's so many disposable characters, it's hard to keep track of the names. Oh, Lord.
No, it's fine. The other girl was the pregnant girl who she was like with the other, the one guy. I think it was the. Hold on, I'm having some audio issues.
Wait.
Am I frozen? Okay. Can you guys hear me? Okay. All right, I'm just making sure.
Yeah, but you do have a little bit of delay on my end.
Okay. Yeah, I kind of feel the delay. She was the pregnant girl. She was okay. Like you said, there's all these characters are very disposable characters, you know? Is that what you would agree? Yeah. What do you, Mark? Tell us a little bit more about what some of the which what was your favorite non chicken guy character and none of the police guys like of the, all the like teens. Did you like any of them?
Yeah, so I didn't. I think, you know, one of the things that was distracting was the fact that you could not empathize with them, right? So some of them you just were just flat, I think it's been said. Slightly annoying, as Joe said, rooting for at least Kate to get killed first. And in Mario Lopez's character, I feel like didn't have any redeeming qualities. I mean, I feel like he was constantly just a jerk and that was it. So I guess the only thing I could say is that the one guy that I mentioned, I can't remember his name now, the guy that wore that fuzzy sweater and the glasses that was smoking. I think he's the only one that came up with that I at least wasn't annoyed by. Kind of came up with some interesting random things to say, like to putting in my wares thing and did the smoking thing. I feel like they just said, do your thing. And he was just he was probably the least annoying, let's just say, of the group, or at least the slightly less boring, let's just say.
He was the hippie one, right?
Yeah, the quote-unquote hippie one. Yes, exactly.
Yeah, which sort of like it felt like an odd group of friends, you know? Like, well, I don't understand it.
Yeah, I mean, it was Well, I felt that couple was sort of a throwback to Friday the 13th Part 3, right? And the hippie couple in the van who were always there at smoke. And I felt like it was sort of a great value knockoff of the couple in a Friday the 13th Part 3. That's at least how I thought about it.
All right. So we're done with the characters. What you had something, Mark, you wanted to share about the kind of psychology of like, did this make you, was this an escape or was this sort of like, or did this bring you value?
Yeah. I mean, thanks for going back to that, Jonathan. I think in general, I may have touched on it a few times as we talk, but I think that's it, right? I think we watch these experiences and we connect with the characters if we are empathic to them. If we see some of ourselves, we want to watch characters that are more like us in some way, especially the lead characters, right? Because we see them as not jerks, but also flawed in some way, you know, and have something to learn. And I didn't feel like those characters were there. So because of that, it was distracting. The other thing is, what differentiates this movie from other films? And if we see the same tropes, if we see the same lines, then we become distracted and we become bored because as human beings, we're constantly looking for something new. So I feel like in both cases of connecting to the characters, but also with looking for something different overall, I feel like except for some minor things we talked about, I feel like both those things fell flat, which made it more of a distraction than something that we could connect to.
Exactly. No, I totally agree. I feel like this, I don't know, it sort of is like, and was it like, do you think this is a worthy distraction? Do you think this movie should be something that people just watch, or do you think it's something that could just be passed because, you know, it is what it is?
I mean, I'd like to hear what Joe thinks about that and respond after that.
Okay.
Well, I'm going to kind of real quick go back to a theory I have about movies. If the credits are at the beginning, it's because they want to make sure they're seen. So, and this one did that. So, I did not. I honestly, I could have, I don't think I would have missed out on anything in life had I not seen this movie. So, I don't think anybody else would be missing anything.
What about you, Mark? What do you think?
Yeah, I don't think, I wouldn't watch this again. I think that, you know, I look at a movie, which I really love, which, you know, this is Zombievers, right? I love Zombievers because there's a lot of quirky, random dialogue in that movie. When you think about, of course, I won't give anything away on that movie. There's a lot of just random dialogue, a lot of craziness. And then there's a lot of fun and gore. I think that's what's also missing from this, right? That you can watch something like this and throw in a lot of great special effects and gore. And again, and do that. So I find like Zombievers is a great example of something that has all those things and is still fun. I didn't feel like this was fun. I felt it was just distracting and even the gore scenes where most of them happen off screen.
I agree. Yeah.
I think the fun house was actually better than this.
Which fun house? Oh, the one we watched?
The one we did. Yeah.
Oh.
Okay. So
that really old, old, cheesy, ridiculous one. I would actually rather watch that one again.
That is, yeah, no, you're absolutely right. I would rather watch fun house than, or any anything like 80s-ish, you know, almost like this is going to be tough when we do the ratings. So I want to touch on this real quick. You were saying before, like the gore is mostly off screen, which is kind of sad. But there is one specific kill scene that I absolutely loved, which I hope you guys agreed on it, is the trapper scene, you know. What do you guys think, Joe? What did you think of the head and the trapper?
I liked it. I didn't like it when he got his foot caught in the trapper because his girlfriend was stupid. But
yeah, she can open it up, right?
Yeah, but she was acting dumb. She was like, she wanted to wait till the last minute, till the killer was. I'm not gonna give up all that much, but it was just the way she handled it. I was like, no.
What about you, Mark? Did you like that? That was probably my favorite.
Yeah, it's really funny you mentioned that, Jonathan. I felt exactly the same way. I felt like the show his head smash. They just showed him like do this and it immediately. I was like, oh wow. I mean, they showed it aftermath, which I think kind of maybe took away a little bit, but I actually agree with you. That was the one scene that I was like, huh, I actually cared a little bit about in that second what happened.
Just so you guys know, we froze for like a second or whatever for like a little bit, and then we got most of what you just said, you know, kind of in a very quick, you know, thing. Like, so people might hear that and be like, whoa, you know, because there's going to be like a pause and then all of a sudden, you know, so I don't know. I don't know what's going on. I think
technology.
The problem with Zoom is, you know, with internet always, especially on Saturday nights, you know, everybody's using the internet. So, you know, and then whatever. So I don't know. But yeah, I agree. Like it didn't show. And then all of a sudden, bam, it like actually looked pretty cool. And I was like, all right, so that was the best scene. And then you're right. I can't even remember any other kill scenes. Like I can't remember. Most of the time, like when she went to go kill, you know, the one girl that was had her ankle broken, mm-hmm. He just went into the house and like you just see the shadow go toward the thing and then come back. I'm like, that was cheap. Like she doesn't even get her own death. Like I would be really disappointed if I were like that actress, you know, like because like you do these movies, a lot of people, and Joe, you and even Mark, you probably know this. That as an actor, you know, in a horror film, the biggest thing that you want is to see a fucking death scene. Because if you're going to die, you want to see it happen, you know, or whatever. You want to see somehow you get killed, you know. So, yeah, it was really disappointing that they did a couple of the off-screen kills and stuff. I'm sad about that. But yeah, I don't remember much. Like, I remember the smoking guy got killed in one area. I know the sheriff got killed, but I can't even remember how.
With a pitchfork.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. That was too bad. But that's goes back to Friday the 13th part 3.
That's right.
Two, like I think, like both that pitchforks. So I think he was like maybe that was the thing. Maybe they watched the movies, they got high and decided to make a movie. like this, I don't know, like, cause this does feel like some stoner's idea of like, what a fucking horror, you know, like, dude, what if we get a bunch of like, or we get two hippies together. We
get Gary Busey.
we spend $20,000, probably more than the rest of the budget on fucking Gary Busey. And then we get Rance Howard to be his like pal and they'll just do some random, we don't even need to give them a script, you know. That's really what it feels like.
What the one that I remembered the most was when her neck, like he snapped her neck and like twisted her neck around, and then Mario Lopez finds her and her neck's all like distorted and crinkled and stuff. I only remember this one because of Mario Lopez's reaction. He like backed up and screamed like a girl, and it was totally so not That's Mario right. Lopez. Like it was so not masculine. It was like, and like jump back. And I laughed so hard at that. I'm not going to lie.
Okay. So I've had guys like in my horror films or whatever, and I would tell them like, you know, yell, scream, whatever. Most of the time, do you know what they tell me? I wouldn't yell, you know, or whatever. Right. So I go, all right, we'll do what you would do, right? That's what they should have done with Mario, because Mario would have probably looked at those guys and been like, I'm not going to scream like a little girl, you know? Unless that was literally what they made him do, just because like maybe they want to get some blackmail on him later on and be like, you know, look at you and you're, you know, screaming like a little girl in this movie. I don't know. But anyway, we are approaching that time that we're going to be doing the review. So... was there anything that we didn't cover, do you guys think, like that we needed to cover? I mean, the cinematography and the editing, we can't really, you know, there's not much to discuss in that, you know, vein, which I feel bad for whoever did the cinematography and editing and all that stuff. Just, there wasn't anything like beautiful scenery or anything.
They were probably bored editing it because there was so much just random nonsense filler bullshit. He's like, where do I cut this at? Like, what do I do with this shit?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So yeah, so there you go. So we'll go to our rating. So to explain to everybody what the rating system is, it's called a stinkometer. It's 1 to 10. And you can also give a 0.5, but it's like one is, pretty good, excellent, whatever you want to call it. And then 10 is just terrible, like stinky garbage, you know, kind of. And sometimes the stinky garbage is fun. You know, there are some movies like The Room, I'm sure would get a 10. Birdemic did not get a 10 from us, which is very surprising, but it's high up, you know, there. And then at the end of the year, we do a sort of a wrap up thing where we all we talk about the, you know, the one we kind of rate which ones, you know, got the highest stink, you know, or the lowest stink. So this, you know, I'll let you guys go first if you guys want. And then who wants to go first? Joe, do you want to go first?
Joe, do you want to go first? Please tell me to go. Okay. Yeah, I mean, if we're saying that the highest is bad, in other words, you would not run to recommend this, and the stinkier it is not a good thing in a sort of cult way.
That's not necessarily it, though. Because, like, okay. 10 could mean that you do recommend it for how bad it is. Just depends on how you want to go with that. Or it could mean that way, that you don't recommend.
So here's what I'm going to say. So if one means it's great and you recommend it, and 10 means it stinks, but it's a good way that it recommend it, then I actually give it a 5. And here's why. Because I wouldn't recommend it. It was like not, I hate to say it, boring in a lot of ways. And I think the minor parts of it that were good and were bad, I think. So if we're using that logic, then I would give the middle because it was meh to me. If we're saying the higher stinky means definitely don't want to, you should not watch this, then I would give it like a 7 or an 8.
Let's go with your 5 then. Perfect. Probably. Okay. What about you, Joe?
I'm going to give it 7 chicken wings.
7 stinky chicken wings.
7 stinky chicken wings.
Love it. I would go with an 8. I think it is a terrible movie. I don't think, I recommend it only for Gary Busey and Rance Howard scene, which I guess you can see online. There are plenty of probably like just that scene cut, you know, or whatever, but like literally that is the only scene that's good in the movie. I think literally the rest of the movie is terrible. There's too many plot holes that don't make any sense. The biggest issue, my biggest issue is how the fuck is he doing this for 33 years? And who the fuck is not cutting his hair? Like, why is he not getting his hair cut? Like, what is, you know, like, and I just all that stuff, like it didn't, none of it really, like if they had actually paid more attention to the script, I think they could have made a better movie, or at least something that could have resembled something. And maybe this, I forgot to look, but I think this might be one of their first films, you know, that these guys did. So I totally get it. If it's your first film, you know, this isn't probably what they're doing right now, you know. And what they're doing right now is probably a hell of a lot better, you know? So don't view this as like, this is probably, you know, every movie is going to be just as bad as this, you know, or whatever. This is something, you know, this student film in a way, you know, this is kind of how I view it. But it just, and I was sort of surprised because I thought it was going to be just as bad as that one fucking crazy ass scene, you know, like I thought that was the whole movie, and I would have loved that. Like I said earlier, I would have loved it if the whole scene was just a bunch of crazy kooky characters and that was it. Or how Joe said earlier, where they came back like later and they were asking the guy, you know, hey, do you get the you know, people that we can fry up for, you know, chicken, you know, or whatever.
Something.
Something like that. Like, I mean, they really missed opportunities by making a lot of parts that just didn't make any sense. Like going back to the police station, right? Where the ketchup stuff happened. Just didn't make any sense. Like, we don't need that stuff. You know, like, I understand you want to cast that guy. Cast that guy as the third kooky, you know, character in that. I would have loved that. Like, that guy could have fit in with those two guys, you know, or whatever, right. You know, like, do that. But don't add this other extra character inside the police station that just didn't make any absolutely, you know, any sense to me. So I don't know. It was one of those things where I was kind of disappointed in that, but all in all, I was fairly, I mean, I could watch it, you know, like, I didn't have to stop it and go do something else, because I hate to say it, there's some movies recently that I've had to like stop halfway through and then go do something else and come back to it because it's either boring or just not that as interesting, you know. And I'm sure we'll have reviews of those, you know, but this particular movie, I just think was okay, you know. Sorry. So you said seven, Joe, right? Seven, seven dirty chicken wings. And then Mark, you give it a five and I give
only cause it was boring. But you know, again, I would raise it up if it steers toward people not watching it, if it helps the overall average go up. So with stinkiness, then I would change it to a seven for that reason.
Seven. Let's do that. Let's change it to a seven.
Right. And again, not because I want to copy, because I don't like to copy, but it was more about understanding the system. And I, if it puts it less recommended by putting it higher, then I agree with that.
Okay. Seven, seven, and eight, you know, which I think, yeah, it's high up there in the stink. Like, I mean, it's not, you know, and hey, look, when we say that, we want to preface this by letting everybody know, we want you guys to watch the movie on your own. Judge it for yourself. We aren't the, you know, catalyst for your viewing, you know, pleasure. Like, you can't take our word and say, hey, I'm not going to watch this just because these guys said that. I mean, you can watch it if you feel like what we said is interesting enough for you guys to watch. Once again, I think you watch listening to a spoiler filled review, usually, you know, you've probably already seen the movie. I would hope. But if not, go watch it. You can buy it on Amazon, I believe, you know, probably used and new. That's what I would suggest. And go watch the movie. So, but all in all, we are saying it's not that good, you know, and everything. And, you know, it, you know, probably could have helped with a lot of writing issues. So let's go into it. So Mark, you've got a podcast. Tell us a little bit about your podcast.
Yeah, thanks, Jonathan. Yeah, my podcast is called Brain Burrow, and it's called Brain Burrow because it's a throwback to all those sci-fi movies, you know, Night of the Creeps, Slither, all those things where it's about those slugs or whatever that's burrowing into somebody's brain. And it's symbolic because I really spend time kind of getting a bit deep with the guests that are on the show. So there's actors, directors, writers, others. And instead of sort of the traditional, hey, tell me about this horror film you did, it's more about, tell me about why you chose this horror film. And then let's go from there. So really about digging deep beneath the surface. So so it's something that I started this year. I'm pleased to say I've had quite a few people on. I've had 20 plus episodes so far. Nice. And I know, Jonathan, that you and I have talked about this, and I'm pleased to say that I am, you know, part of your network out there of Indie Film Cafe. And I'm quite honored to be part of that as we move forward.
Every Thursday, you can listen to another episode of Brain Burrow. We're very happy to have you on because, I mean, when I first heard the show, I was introduced by Lydia Manson. And you and Lydia did such a fantastic job. I was like, you know, because like, you know, generally speaking, you're right. A lot of the interviews are like a lot of what I do, which is like, let's talk about the movies that you've done and everything like that. But I've been doing it since like 2006. And that's sort of what and I've been thinking about doing more stuff like, you know, getting into more personal stuff or whatever, you know, you do psychology, I would do more like, you know, your personal life, you know, kind of thing, you know, or whatever, which might go into a little psychology. I don't know.
I think that's a good point. Just one more disclaimer I want to say, you know, that does not to say that my show is any better than anybody else's. It's about differentiation. I think I just have a different twist on it, given my background. So
I hope I wasn't trying
to. No. I just want to let you know that I'm like, hey, well, I come along and here's the best podcast because I'm not talking about their movies. I just want to let that be known because I respect both the work, for instance, that you both do. And actually, Joe is, well, I guess Joe can talk about herself, but I think when I look at the people out there in the business, you know, I look at us as almost like complementing each other in the different ways we approach. So I think some of my best work has been on when I've been on Joe's show, and we've sort of been able to kind of go back and forth because we have such a different perspective on things.
Exactly. Well, that'll lead us. Well, also, Mark, real quick, before we do that, tell us what have do you have coming up as an actor, and where can we also find your websites and stuff?
Geez, thanks. Thanks for these plugs. Yeah, it's so the next film will actually be in Las Vegas with Eric Mathis on The Macabre. I think you both probably have seen a lot of that stuff out there. It's the anthology film. It's been filming each section. So I'm very pleased to be able to go out there. You know, if you go on IMDb, of course, you'll be able to see some of the other stuff that I've worked on. You know, just I'm happy to work with a couple different people, including Bianca Crespo, who's actually out of Philadelphia. She's a director that I've worked with before and who I work with again. So just a couple different people, and I don't want to reveal too much about other things, but, you know, we all find the different people that we work well with together. So thank you for asking about that.
And where can people find your work?
Oh, so I think there's a couple different things. I know they're still looking for distribution of some of the stuff I did recently with, you know, Abel Berry and Strix on, what's it called? Fearflix, right? That's where we saw some of the other stuff, Jonathan, for some of the other stuff. Let's just say since I only started acting last year, there's not a lot of stuff out there yet, but there will be within the next year.
Well, your podcast is brainburrow.com.
Oh, yeah. I thought my work, that work, not my acting work. Yeah. Geez.
Well, just everything.
Yeah. 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 And brainburrow.com is the podcast, but you can find Brainburrow on any podcast platform. You can just search for it on, you know, iTunes, Spotify, iHeartRadio, everything else. And I'm also on YouTube and Instagram as well.
Awesome. Joe, tell us a little bit about your podcast that you got going on.
Well, first of all, I just want to say congratulations to Mark. I think you're doing an awesome job. I know I tell you this every time I see you, but you're doing an amazing job and you just do better every time I see you. So jeez.
Thanks, Joe. You're one of my inspirations, by the way. So thank you.
Don't tell people that. That's how rumors get started. No one's going to know. I host a show called Any Last Words. And basically, I guess it's more of like a horror and rock themed variety type show. I do interviews, I do cooking segments, I do games, I do all kinds of just randomness stuff to entertain the folks. So, but I like to mostly sit down with a lot of independent artists, whether it's in music or if it's in film. And film is also just that itself just turns into an even wider variety of people that I can interview because I like, you know, I've had prop masters on, you know, set directors, actors, producers, writers, just, you know, all kinds of people who are in horror. I want to talk to everybody in horror because everybody, you know, deserves, you know, their recognition because, you know, teamwork makes the dream work. You know, if you don't have all these people, nothing gets done. So.
Exactly. No, I totally agree. And I love that you say you use like prop masters and other people like that, because I feel like a lot of times in interviews, those are the people that that get like, don't get as much recognized, you know, and stuff. And when I was living in LA, those are the people I was meeting, you know, out in the streets or whatever, you know, cause you know, you barely could actually find other people. You could, you know, those people are just there and you say, you work in the business. What do you do? Well, I'm a prop master. Oh, that's awesome. You know, that's really cool. Like, cause you know, everybody's job is very important in the film industry. So anyway, Joe, how can people find Any Last Words?
We lost you, Jonathan.
Okay. We froze again for a second. Hold on. It'll bring back.
Oh no.
Can you guys hear me? All right. Now.
Yeah.
Okay.
It says now my internet connection is unstable, just like my life.
Oh, no.
All right. all right. So we'll. So Joe, how can people find Any Last Words?
I'm on YouTube. Well, primarily right now, I am on YouTube, Facebook, Twitch, and Instagram. Awesome. You can find me at Any Last Words Joe. For most of them, J-O, not J-O-E, because. You know, there's two ways to spell it.
And do you have any films? Like, because I know you're an actress too, and filmmaker yourself. So, do you have any projects coming up?
I do. I'm actually in the middle of filming my first almost complete anthology called Lore. And basically it's a horror movie based off of the Christmas Icelandic traditions, because in America, these are not really original ideas that we have for Christmas and Santa Claus and whatnot. So I kind of, you know, take it back to Iceland, and because their Christmas is actually very dark and you know, it's kind of scary, the origins of their type of Christmas. So I kind of bringing it back to a more modern kind of setting, if that makes sense.
Iceland,
like, I'm not taking it back to the olden days. So
Iceland is very green, right?
Like, yes. Yeah. And Greenland is very icy, right?
Yeah, that's what I was like always heard, you know, that they're very, you know, the different names or whatever. It seems kind of mixed up, you know. Well, that's interesting. Awesome. I look forward to hearing more about that later. So we'll have to have you back on sometime to promote that again. Or other stuff you're, you know, here to promote. So, thank you guys so much. I really appreciated you both being on, since you guys have never been on this particular show before. I don't think, Joe, you've never been on this before, have you?
Not on this one. All in the '80s film.
Yeah, on the '80s films and stuff. So that's awesome. And I think you've been on, a couple other things, but like, you know, like video ones too or something, but I really appreciate it. Mark, you'll be, I'm sure, I think we've got you already booked for other shows, you know, with us and stuff too, so
looking forward to it.
Me too. So thank you guys so much. Everybody,
thank you.
check out their podcasts, also check out their links, and check out check out indiefilmcafe.reviews, sickflickproductions.com, indiefilmcafe.podbean.com, and patreon.com/indiefilmcafe. All the links will be at the bottom here. I really appreciate it, you guys. This was a lot of fun. If you guys enjoyed this, let us know. Give us a thumbs up. You know, tell us what you guys think. Leave a review. Any reviews help with us. We just want to know your feedback. Did you guys like the movie? Did you guys not like the movie? Did you guys think the movie was meh, like Mark? You know, like, what was your opinion? We'd love to hear it. So thank you for letting us know, and have a good one. Bye.